I'm going to begin with the screen. I'm going to turn off the screen to save my battery. But I want to introduce the topic. I think it, what's the title? A magic formula or a, what's the title? Tfilat HaRachamim? Is there an official title? And that's it? Okay. Usually the title is this a magic formula or are the essence of Tfilat? Yeah. In a nutshell, I'll read what we said last night, a couple hours ago. El Horeit Elenu Lomar Shoshesley. What did God do? God instructed us to say the 13 Migot, and therefore remember Shorlan Hayom Brich Shoshesley. Remember the covenant of the 13. Moshe, that's what I'm beginning, like you told, who's the Anav? Yeah, who's the Anav? Moshe Rabbeinu. From way back. Moshe Ketuv, and then we get into Dahm. Now, how did you understand? I can put it now on top. I should put it too. Stand by. I guess close this up right here. Fine. Okay, good. Fine. Okay. How did you understand? We'll get back to that later on. Better go off. That's not good. Okay. How did you understand the that brief? What's the covenant of the 13? What did God promise us? What's the classic interpretation? Why do we say Gimel Midot and Slichot? How can we say the 13 attributes over and over and over again? What's the trick? Yeah. But why these? Why do we? Yeah.
It was a formula.
Yeah.
Formula given to us.
And for what situation? Okay, we're going to do that story. We're going to do that whole story soon, but isn't there a thing, didn't God promise Moshe Rabbeinu that whenever you're in trouble, say these 13 and I'll forgive you? That's pretty much, but when you read it more the first time, it sounds like a magic formula. Whenever you're in trouble, say these magic words and you're forgiven. Yeah, it's like a mantra. You say it, or like in Harry Potter, it's like some kind of magic spell or something. And you could do terrible things, say these magic words, and each time you say it, it'll get rid, wipe away a little bit more. Which is very un-Jewish. Isn't it?
Yeah.
The whole concept is very un-Jewish. But we make such a big deal about it. And I remember growing up, that seems to be, like I say this, the more kabbalah I say with, the more. What I'm going to show you today, the way I understand what Chazal are saying, and to appreciate it based on how they developed in Chumash. And I want to begin with the word brit, and from the word brit, we'll get to work. What's brit mean?
A covenant.
We're going to begin by following the concept of brit. Take 5 minutes, follow the concept of brit, and then which will take us right to Har Sinai. We need 4 minutes to get to Har Sinai from the Big Bang. Where's the first time we have brit in Chumash? Before Abraham. With Noah. Called the Rainbow Covenant. There's a rainbow bridge. We got a rainbow covenant. Remember that? Now, what was that covenant about? Was it about a rainbow? God decided, I'm not going to destroy again. I'll use an analogy. Compare, like Kabbalah does, creation to a vessel full of light, or a vessel. And what happened? It broke. God made this perfect creation, or made this beautiful creation. What did man do with it? God gave man an opportunity. And what did man do? But became corrupt, God got angry, and in a modern day analogy, God decides, I'm going to hit the reset button. Because that's, I think, the easiest way to understand what God decided to do. God's unhappy, I'm going to hit reset. Everyone knows what that means, right? Hebrew, ichu. We're going to start over again. But it's not going to be a total reset. I'm going to take something, I'm going to take I'll take maybe one of the chips from the computer and build a new one. And what's that one little microchip going to be?
No.
That's Noah. I'm going to recreate, give you a whole new hard drive, all the things, but maybe one little thing. And why Noah? He was a tzaddik, etc. He was a good, he was a core duo, Pentium, whatever you call the thing. He was the best. Nah. God hits the reset button, recreate. That's the follow the Marvel story, the story of recreation. All the parallels, that's the topic again in itself. As soon as the flood's over, Noah comes out. Noah brings the Korban, and what does God do? God makes a covenant. What's the covenant about? I'm not going to hit the reset button again. Now, when something breaks, you have two options. What can you do? In general, something breaks.
God
Fix it and get a new one. Right? We all do that. Nowadays it's more getting a new one, but in good old days, people actually fixed it. Now, that was God's option in the beginning. What did God do the first time? We'll start a new one. Now, after the Mabul, God makes Brit HaKeshet, and what's the rainbow in that covenant? The covenant is, I'm not going to destroy mankind again. What's the rainbow for? A sign for who? For God. Because it's His covenant. It's pretty much one-sided. It's a reminder to God, don't hit the reset button again. He may still punish, but not everyone, not the whole. He'll punish this nation, that place, here or there, but not everyone, He's not going to hit reset again. That's the covenant. It's the same words, Bakimoti, Briti, etc. Next covenant, I'm going to skip Brit Benatarim for technical reason, and go right to Brit Milah. Because Brit Milah is the exact same word. Bakimoti, Briti, Benu, Benechem, Benu, Benchem. And also Brit Milah has an old priest. Who's Brit Milah with? With Avram Avinu. And if I want to follow the analogy, God's upset with mankind again. The story of the Tower of Babel. God can't hit the reset button again. Why can't he? He promised he wouldn't. Now things are wrong. What can he do? He can only fix it. Hence, why did he choose Avram Avinu? To fix. And not just for that one generation. It's an eternal choice for all generations. And there's one beautiful parallel which I think you're all familiar with. How is Noach described? Noach says, Tamim haya bedorotav, etel mitalech Noach. All of a sudden, the Brit Milah, how does Brit Milah begin? What's got to offer, Avinu? Ani kel shaddai, ki talech lefanai vehiyetamim. That's not Briti b'nei b'necha. Avram is chosen to be good. Noach is chosen for because he was good, a one-time choice to begin. Job is over. That's it. Avram is chosen for an eternal purpose. Not because he was great, he was chosen to be great. What we call Judaism. He's given the challenge to make the takwa we take on the takenolava makuchada. That's the concept of Brit Milah. The phrase, what's the Brit? The Brit is not circumcision. Circumcision is an oath Brit. It's a sign of the Brit. What's the Brit? If you want to take a look in Perikid Zion, Pasik Zion, it's Li'ot Lachal Elohim. I'll be your God. The flip side is, Atem Tzidu La'am. It's very good Zion and Rashid, if you want to take a look, over and over again. The Brit is 17:7. What project is this? Genesis 17:7. So the Yod L'chel Elohim, and then God gives this Eretz B'gurach, it's Eretz Canaan, the Yod L'chel Ve'yadachem Elohim. Remember Shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, that song we sing? Remember? Ki anu amecha at Eloheinu, anu baruch at Ra'inu. That's the same idea over and over and over again. It's the basic concept of covenant. He's our God. He's not only our God. He's God of all mankind, but He's our boss. We represent Him. He's our God. And the God that we're representing, He's the only God. That's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But the covenant of Brit Milah is he's we're representing Him. We have a special relationship with God. He's our God. We're His people. There's an oath Brit, which is circumcision. What we call Brit. But that's very general. Where are we going to get the upgrade of that Brit Milah, of that Brit? We'll get to Brit Sinai. As we remember, Vakimoti Briti Tzem. It's the same word, Vakimoti Briti, in each of the Britot. We get to our Sinai, and we upgrade the Brit. And now we get a detailed plan of what it means to represent God. When we call Matan Torah. We come to our Sinai, Atem Tzidu Mamlechet Kohanim Levoi Kadosh. You'll be a nation representing me, designated to serve me. And then, in order to become that nation, we get a whole set of laws better known as Matan Torah. Correct? And those laws include how to behave, we talked about before, and how to remember God. It's full of symbols, it's full of rituals, it's full of jurisprudence, civil laws, ethical laws, etc., etc. Chumash, we call Chumash, and then how to interpret that, we call that Torah Shabbat Peh. Tomorrow, that's Jewish learning. Jewish learning is how to be a good servant of Hashem. Saying Shema every day, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, that's Judaism in a nutshell. Again, a challenge to be, but like how to do it, how to serve God best, that we call Hashkafa. These people say this way, that way, but the essence of being Jewish is recognizing as an individual and as a nation, you're in the service of God. I forgot to turn. Now, we get to Har Sinai, and we begin again with the Brit. Remember, in Perek Yotet, in Sefer Shmot, what's Perek Yotet say? Vayim Shmot Yishmu B'Koli U'Shmartem Et Briti. Everyone knows that Har Sinai is a Brit. Prove me from the Seder that Har Sinai is a Brit. Remember, who knows too? In Hebrew, who knows too? Time Yodea? A Brit. Referring to Har Sinai is a Brit. Sinu Sefer Dvarim, it's Hashem Elokim Dupratim Anu Brit B'Choret. Har Sinai, no ifs, ands, and buts, is a Brit. So there's no doubt about it. Now, if that's the case, what happens is we start with a covenant, and it's from the covenant we get to the laws. If you want to understand why the Jewish people have more laws than everybody else, it's because these laws stem from the Brit. Because we're representing God, we need an extra set of laws. Now, we get to Har Sinai, and we get what you call the Ten Commandments. Now, how many commandments are there in the Ten Commandments? What? Now, you would think he would say, you slipped the prize. Guess what the answer won't be? I wouldn't have asked if the answer was 10. Because it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash that there are 10 commandments. You know what they're called in Chumash? Aseret HaDvarim. They're 10 like statements. And they're 10 parshiyot, etc. There's like 18. There's 6. The people count the mitzvot. Yeah. So, yeah. Of the 613, there's at least 14 in there. And if you count the words technically speaking, you can get up to 18. There's 6 asays and 6 6 words, but you can add, combine them again. There's 6 lot asays and 6 12 lot asays and 4 or 6 asays, but that's a share in itself. What I want you to do though, look at the Ten Commandments, and then we're going to begin our share. I'll give you a little assignment. Look at the Ten Commandments. What I want you to do is I want you to find something in the Ten Commandments that's not a commandment. You understand my question? Yeah. Okay, don't answer right away. I want you to take a minute. Take 2 minutes. Everyone do this. I don't want just 2 or 3 people answering. I want everyone, this is the critical part of the share. You have to do a little assignment. A to wake up and A to ask if this is a class, not a lecture. What I want you to do is I want you to look at the Ten Commandments. What page is it, Rabbi Scroll?
406.
Okay. Page 406. You can look in Sefer Dvarim as well. Look at the Ten Commandments, what you call the Ten Commandments. 14 or 18, whatever, the Ten Dvarim. And I want you to look and find me something that's not a commandment, and there's more than, find whatever you can that's not a commandment. And when you find that, tell me what it is. If it's not a commandment, it's something else. You have to find it and define it. Understand what I want you to do? Okay, take a minute or two and find sign one, look for another one. And look for another one. Chapter 20, from verse 1 to, I guess, 10, 15. It's a lot of fun, you think. Take a minute, you can make a little list. Okay, we'll start taking okay, you're still working, that's good. Have you found a couple? Okay. We'll take them one at a time, yeah? What's the first one?
I think it's the basically the statements that Hashem says, I'm your God, those aren't commandments. That's basically a statement that's an affirmation.
Okay,
it's a statement of identity, okay. And relationship. It's not there are a couple of statements that Hashem says that he's our God.
He's our God. I'm your God who took you out of Egypt. That's a statement.
It's not
a commandment. Yeah. Now, some people say that recognizing that God exists or belief in God, they say, yeah, that might be the first commandment. That's a big argument. It's a super commandment. You're right. It's a statement of I'm your God. Okay, now, after that line, next one, behind you. That has to get the next broadcast. Okay.
What
in the middle of the second commandment, what you call the second commandment. What's God say? God says he's Ose Chesed. Everyone found that? What does God do? God gives exacting kindness to who? To thousands degree to? To people who follow his laws and love him. Was there anything before then? Who wants to do the next bracha? Who wants the next one? Anyone find something else besides Ose Chesed? Yeah, pass it to Pasadena.
In Pasuk Hey,
First it says, don't have any other gods, don't bow down to them, etc. Why? Meaning, what's God? God is a? Not jealous. Zealous. I think there's a big difference between zealous and jealous. Someone who's zealous, what do they do? Tell me quick. A zealous is no patience, right away. Remember Pinchas? Zealous is not necessarily bad, but it's passionate, right away. Jealous is more like kids are jealous. Oh, I want that. Zealousness is quick to act and passionate about something. What's God saying? If you follow another God, I'll be zealous. I'm a Kelkana, I'll punish you right away. And you'll poket avon on who? On you and your whole family afterwards, 2, 3, 4 generations, to who? Lefsonai. To those who hate me. If you don't follow me, those who don't like representing me, I'm going to punish you really harshly. Those who follow me, I'll do chesed. Simple?
852 years.
From when to when?
What?
Mehera, very good, yeah. 852 years. So now, what are those? That Hashem is Ose Chesed Lo Havai. That he's Elkana. That he's Poked Avon. What? What do you mean by an attribute? Isn't an attribute kind, nice, being zealous, and what? I agree with you, it's an attribute. Attributes aren't only nice things, they're also anything. If you had to put in the famous categories of Din and Rahamin, all these are Din?
No.
But Kelkana is Din, right? And Poked Avon, the Sonai, that's Din. That's judgment. How about Ose Chesed? Sounds nice, right? But look carefully. Yeah, but I want everyone to follow. Ose Chesed O'Ava. Is that merciful? Because who gets Chesed? O'Havai. Or somebody needs Fatai. How about if you're not so good? Sorry, Charlie. Din doesn't mean necessarily bad things. You get what you deserve.
The alafim, though, is not yet a
hefei. It could be maybe a little bit extra. It might be a little bit extra, but
the olafai shaharim shasai is mean a hefei to the.
No, but if Hashem Ose Chesed to the thousandth degree, right, not to 1,000 people and olafai shasai. But for olafai shaharim shasai. How do we certainly do good for them? But I don't think he's giving, it's not alafim or avay v'shomrei mitzvotai. It's not 1, 2, 3. He'll give chesed to avay v'shomrei mitzvotai to the thousandth degree. Whatever.
In Chazal, they interpreted that the chesed goes for like a thousand generations.
On. Okay. But but they're going to base it on what happens later on. They'll base it on what's going to happen later on.
Okay.
But the avirah, the atmosphere here is very exacting. Yeah, question. If you're working in a company and you have a boss, okay, and let's say he's a real mean boss, okay, when is he going to be mean?
When
you don't do your job. Now, if he's a kind boss, let's say you don't do your job. Let's say you come 5 minutes late to work. What would a mean boss do, and what would a kind boss do? A mean boss, you're fired. A nice boss, you'll be good. If you come to work on time and do your job, being mean won't make that much of a difference. I mean, the attributes usually, they're part of a relationship, but the same person can be a real mean boss and a real kind husband. or father, or parent. Understand? What I'm getting at is that attributes are a function of relationships. And depending on the relationship you're in, but the attributes usually reflect... What's the logic here of this strictness? What's the simple logic? Why is God saying, together with these laws, why do these laws come together with attributes? What's the logic behind it? Why is God saying, you can't have any other gods? If you do, who am I going to get angry? But if you follow me, keep my laws, why am I going to be nice to you? What's the logic behind it? It's so simple. You read this, we get other...
Hashem is fair.
What?
Hashem is fair. Well, that there is a certain...
He's fair with all mankind. But why now, with these commandments, why... What's the logic? Understand my question? But what advantage is there in being so strict?
It's about keeping life on course, and that's the relationship between Abraham and this wife. This is another grip, because I mean, with the previous generation, the reason why we had the flood was because mankind got off course, and the reason why we had Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed.
Yeah, were they punished right away? Listen, was Stone punished the second day sin? Was God a Kel Kanan with Stone and with the Mabul? He gave hundreds of years, lots of times for the Mabul. A couple of generations for Stone, or at least a couple of years for sure. It wasn't immediate punishment. He gave him some time. Lots of time. What's God saying now? One mistake, you're finished. That's Kel Kanan. But what's the logic? Why? What in this covenant that requires this exacting immediate punishment? But what's the? If I go back to the reason for the covenant, if there's a covenant between a nation representing God, I call this marketing scheme. Why is it so important that the workers have to be perfect? What's the job? If you're training a pilot,
because you're all going, yeah. You're the leaders of the pack.
Yeah. If I'm training a pilot in the army, I'm going to be really strict in training course. Why? Because if I was making a mistake, the consequences are terrible. If I'm training a chef in the kitchen, okay, to put too much salt in. So, some people go hungry for a day or put something wrong. But a pilot messes up, there goes a plane, $1 billion, there goes, a refugee camp, there goes... You understand my point? But when the stakes are high, when you're working, when your job is really important, it makes a strict working relationship is when the stakes are high. And when I need good workers. And therefore, this nation is taking upon itself to represent God of all mankind. It makes sense because there'll be a certain sense of strictness. There's logic to it. That's all. Now, we have the Ten Commandments. Look at the third commandment. Something similar or not? It's not to carry God's name in vain. That's the commandment.
Which is, I make it easier for you if you're doing my command, so you can do more of it. Whereas if you are a delinquent, I'll make it more difficult.
Yeah.
Why should I help you?
That's right. I'm going to help you help me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to help you, but if I punish you right away, then there's less chance you can do something wrong.
They're not really rewards.
Yeah.
The suggestion is just to help
you. I'm helping you help me.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see that later on for sure. Now, how about the third commandment? Is there an attribute there or not? Everyone find it? Lo tistag shem Hashem elokecha lashav, commandment. Ki lo yirakeh Hashem. What that mean? God wants? He won't clean away sin. He won't absolve sin for someone who carries his name in vain. I understand carrying his name in vain is doing a lousy job. So as a Jewish nation, we're carrying God's name. It's not just about basketball players. You can't play basketball without cursing a little bit. I think you can't play basketball. It's saying, you shouldn't curse anyhow, but it's saying, you're carrying God's name. Don't do a lousy job. Don't do it in vain. Why? Because if you do, God won't forgive you. People are not yet. Again, that's a din of rachamim. Yeah. I don't see here rachum, chanum. Don't see that at all. Shabbat has its own. Shabbat is going to be the sign for B'Tzina. Then we have all the other. The rest you're going to find. That's it, I think, for the Midot and the Ten Commandments. Yeah, quick question?
I'm sorry. You keep saying that all these things are deen, which is harsh judgment, but it's not clear to me that it's deen, because, if you leave a person in a situation where they're in sin or where they're getting off track or leading other people off track, and you correct them immediately, that's not deen, that's that saves them time and
suffering.
Deen,
you're saying deen is something mean and bad. I'm not saying deen is mean. Deen isn't mean. Deen is you get what you deserve. Deen is it's a definable, exacting working relationship. You do good, Pavlov's dog. It's a deen or rachamim.
Okay.
Right, that's my point? Yeah. I don't mean deen mean mean or bad.
Yeah.
Deen mean, you get what you deserve. Rachamim is going to be you do something wrong, I'll pretend it didn't happen. God's not saying that. That's rachamim. You made a mistake, I'll forgive you this time. Right? One offense, that parking ticket, okay, I rip it up. I'll wait till you get fired. That's rachamim. Right? Deen might be, you know, you pay, so don't pay me right now, pay me tomorrow. That's still deen.
Something may be deen, but doesn't mean God's going to exact that deen.
Yeah, but
two separate things.
Yeah. So it can be deen, it can be distance. Yeah. But kelkana, but that's something. What's kelkana? Kelkana sounds like no patience, right away. Like Pinchas. Now, the people, they hear all this, they get really scared. Everyone knows the story, and they say, Moshe, you be the middleman, and then we get Parshat Mishpatim. Zoom to the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Go to Shmot Terech HaGimel. Shmot Terech HaGimel, Pasachah. All the laws are over, and we're on our way to Israel. And God makes a promise. One of many. Everyone have it? Page announcer?
432.
In the art scroll. What pages again?
432.
432 in the art scroll. Terech Chav, instead of Shmot, Terech Chav Gimel. Pasach Chav. 2320. Okay. Page 436.
Last line of 436.
Last line of 436. What's God saying? Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach Levanech Vadishmorach Abaderech Laviyacha Lomukam Asherach Hinoch. Remember this topic? We're going to come back to it the whole shiur. What's God saying? I'm going to send a Malach to take you where? Better known as the land of Israel. Land I set aside in Brit Avot, at Brit Milah, isn't it? At Eretz Midrash, at Eretz Canaan. I set aside a land for this covenant to take place. I'm sending a Malach to help you there. Who's this Malach? We're going to vote on who this Malach is in a minute. This is the next line. Hishamer mipanav ushma b'kol ha'tamer bo. What's that mean? Be careful of this Malach I'm sending. Listen to him. And don't rebel against him. Why not? What's it say now? Ki lo yisal lepishechem. What's that mean? What won't he do? He won't?
Okay.
He won't forgive your sin. Why? Ki shmi b'kirbo. My name is with him. But is that another midah? Does that fit into the din? It's the same pattern? Okay. Look at the next line. Ki shmo atishma b'kolo. V'asit et kol asher adaber. If you listen to him, and hence do what I say, then I'll help you defeat your enemies. And I'll bring you to the promised land. Who is this Malach? If he had a vote, at this time in Chumash, not who did it end up becoming, but who's his team? Who does it seem like it's going to be? Who is this Malach supposed to be?
Moshe.
Yeah. Understand why it's Moshe? It's got to be someone human, someone talking to them, something who's representing God, someone who's, God's name is him. And when he speaks, it's all God's book. And supposedly, he took him out of Egypt, he's going to lead him to Israel.
Sounds like Mephatim.
Yeah. That's what Rambam brings down. That's in Kabbalah. But in Shas, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever Matatron means. Later, we find him in Yeshua Terekei. Remember Yeshua? Mitzamalah. But right now, it should be Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu, representing God, needs to have what attribute now? Kilo Yisal Fishechem. Does Moshe do that? Well, we'll see. But like when he sees the Egel, he gets really angry really fast. He punishes really fast. And God wants to punish even more, but okay. So let's get, in the meantime, Moshe's on Har Sinai, Chet Ego, we're not going to do the whole story of Chet Ego, we're going to get right to the end of the story. Okay?
I don't know if Moshe's punishing, but he's actually saving God.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm not going to do the Chet Ego story, other than the fact that when Moshe is gone, the people think the Malach is gone. If Moshe was a Malach, when Moshe disappeared, they want a new Malach, Asher Yachul Lefaneinu, and the rest is this year on Chet Ego. How it turns into idol worship? That's an hour shift, 2 hour shift. Not now. God's very angry. What they did is bad. Why it's bad? Not for now. Look in Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Zayin. Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, that's where he should hate on top. Page
494.
494 at the bottom. God tells Moshe, go down Do people sin? So men min aderach, so men megil masecha, v'shtachavudah, etc. Look at Pasuk 10. What does Hashem say in Pasuk 10? What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah. God says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, ra'iti et amazen. And what are they? They're an amkshe orach, meaning they're a nation with a stiff neck. Someone with a stiff neck can't change direction. God reaches the conclusion. What page is it? Again now? Page 4? 496. 496, 498 coming up.
What chapter is that?
Chapter 32 in Shmuel. You want in the Hertz, it's page 358. 359 already, almost. No, 358. Now look at Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vata, hanichami, God says, which now allow me, vayicharapi behem vachalein, that says chalav v'gadol. That's it, the reset button. You see the analogy? You know all the parallels between Noah and Moshe Rabbeinu? There's so many. I'm sure you know this, no? Matzachem Be'inai. Kill everybody, pick only one. 40 days and 40 nights. Teva. You're not familiar with that? Malach? Never heard of that? That's so cool. You never noticed it before? Now you notice it? Yeah. There's 40 days and 40 nights. There's a Teva. There's Matzachem Be'inai Hashem. There's God wanting to kill everyone else and only pick Him. God wants it to reset, but not on mankind, but on Am Yisrael. Understand? Yeah, quick question? Okay. All these things are after, remember, we're at the beginning of the movie. Okay? When the movie's over, you get all the comments. The Monday paper after the Sunday football game, they write the commentary not after the first quarter. Right? You're 100% right, but when you're reading the story in Chumash, you can't interpret it based on the paper coming out tomorrow, the next day. If you want to appreciate what they read, you have to watch the game first. Understand my analogy? No. What's God saying? God's saying, allow me, vayicharapi b'hem. What's that mean, vayicharapi? Allow me to get angry. And wipe them out. But midah zeh. That's din, like, first pass, is it? I mean, that's din as it can be. Allow me to get to my anger and wipe them out, just allow me. He's hinting to Moshe, you know, daven a little bit. What's Moshe do? Moshe daven, and he gives two reasons. Reason number one is Brit Avot. But there's a solution for Brit Avot. Because what's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I'll make you a goy gadol. Remember? It's like, I'll reset with you. The other reason Moshe Rabbeinu gives is Chilo Hashem. Lam Yom Mitzrayim. That, God doesn't have an answer for. Because even if maybe Am Yisrael deserves to be punished, it'll look bad. The whole reason we chose them was to make a good name for God. If He punishes them, what do we gain? God looks bad again. And therefore, God has to give it. Moshe does punish the 3,000 big troublemakers, make the whole thing, but when it's all over, he still needs to ask for forgiveness. Skip to Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed and Perek Lamed Bet. Page 500, and then Perek is page 360. Okay. What happens the next day? Vayimi Mochorat, on the next day, Moshe goes up to God, and what's he saying? He goes to the people and says, the people, you did a terrible sin, I'm going to go up to God, maybe He'll forgive you. And Moshe goes up and says, the people did a terrible thing, etc. We're going to pick up from Pasuk Lamed Bet, later. Verse 32. Moshe says the follows to God, Vata in Kisan Chatatam. Why does Moshe say that? Why did Moshe, of all people, think of all words to forgive them, in Kisan Chatatam? Why the word Kisan? Kisan means to carry away. Right? If Moshe is the Malach, and what mandate does the Malach have? Remember? Ki lo yisal apishetem. Moshe, by his appointment, the mandate that he has to fulfill lo yisal apishetem. Therefore, he has to punish the people. He has to be God's agent to do that. What's Moshe say? I don't want to do my job. He says, now forgive the intisachatatam. And if you don't do that, if you tell me to punish them, guess what? I quit. Let me have a look. He's giving God no choice but to do something else. What would you expect God to say now?
There's a difference in the terms. Here it's chatatam.
There's pisham, right. They're going to come together. Okay. Because a pesha is something intentional. Chatat is usually something you miss. It's less intentional. I'm going to say unintentional. I say less intentional. Okay. But that's Pesha Chatas, and we'll see that in the Midot later on. Moshe's putting his career on the line. He's saying, if you don't forgive them, I'm not here. Now, what do we expect? What do we think is going to happen? What most people think happens now is God says, how can God say no? And what do you think God's going to do? Don't tell me what you know. Don't tell me. If you think, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen now? Moshe says, please forgive my people. Does God forgive them? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. And what midot does God forgive them with? With midot. Most people think midot rachamim come here. In fact, when we rain on fast days, that's what we do. We skip right to chapter 34. And we skip all chapter 33. But we're going to see something amazing. God doesn't forgive them. Listen to what God answers Moshe Rabbeinu. What's God say? What's the Klamen Gimel? V'yomer Shem Moshe, mi asher chata v'yachan em yisifri. Tell Moshe, don't tell me what to do. But God does give him a solution. Listen to the solution. It's very tricky. Listen to what God says. You have to look in the Hebrew, don't look in the English for a minute. You have to help me translate. V'atav lech nechei adam. What's that mean? Go and nechei means? Oh, you said the wrong thing. Someone say something else. You're right, but most people think it's different. Most people think it's comfort them. Someone thought that? Most people say go comfort the people. Like nechei. Nechei means lead. You're 100% right. But God tells Moshe, listen to the answer. God tells Moshe, forgive them. What God say? I'm not going to forgive you. Instead, what do? Go lead the people where? Ela Sheni Bartila. Where's that? That's the land of Israel, if I told you. We'll prove it in a minute. Hinei malachi elech lefanecha. It sounds like nothing's wrong. Go to the land of Israel. I'm sending a malach again. Look at the punishment. Uvyom tzavti ufakarati elem et chatatam. What's God say? When will I punish them? Take him to the land of Israel and I'll punish him when I punish them. Is that dinu rachamim? Do you realize that God says, what's your punishment? I'm not going to forgive you, instead go to Israel? You think people appreciate that. The punishment is they have to go to Israel. That's what God's saying. But what? And when you get there, I'll punish you there. But is that Dina Rachamim?
Nothing.
Again.
It's both.
See.
It's both.
I call it the first credit card. It's you owe something, but what do you pay? Chazal says the first credit. Remember Chazal says every generation pays a little bit? Pays off the principal? You familiar with that, Chazal? Is that Dina Rachamim with Yom Pachtiyah Pachadati? It's Din, but how is it different than Kelkana? It's slow. Now, listen. Eben Ezra in this pasuk says three words, which is a bombshell. Eben Ezra says, what's of Yom Pachtiyah Pachadati? But on the day I punish him, I punish him. He says, Mi Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Understand? He says, go to Israel, what are they going to punish you? Every year on Rosh Hashanah. What are you hinting at, Eben Ezra? Who's judged on Rosh Hashanah? The Jewish people? Not going to Yamasa. But who's judged on Rosh Hashanah? All mankind. God judges all nations. We saw by the flood, we saw by stone. God judges everyone. But when did he judge them and how did he judge them? Once a year. There's a final once a year. You don't get a test every day. You don't get a quiz every week. What do you do? Once a year, you take a final, and that's it. God, there's midat hadin in all mankind, but it's less intense. Right? What happened at Mama at Brit Sinai, at the covenant of Sinai? What did God do? You're a nation representing me. You're upgraded. You're a special unit. You're this officer's course. With you, have to be extra, extra intense. Excellent. God had to deal with everybody. Now you need to be more. Yeah. What's God's solution to the problem? What happened to Brit Sinai after Chet Ha'egel? What condition did Brit Sinai? What happened? What did Moshe do with the Luchot? He broke them. It's broken. We broke it. Did what God say? We want to continue the relationship. Much more distant. I'll treat you downgraded to. You're like every other nation. You still get the land of Israel. Look, skip the Perek Lamed Dalet. Lamed Gimel, the next line. Look, I've got to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu what he meant. Listen what happens. It's right on the mark. What I'm going to show you is God's going to say, I'm going to fulfill Brit Avot, but bye-bye Brit Sinai. It's an important stage in the events, because most people don't recognize there's a stage before we get to the Midot Rachamim. This is what God tells Moshe Rabbeinu. They sin with Chet Egel, Moshe asks for forgiveness, God says no way. Instead, bring him to Israel, and I'll keep Brit Avot. I want to show you God saying Brit Avot you can keep. Bye bye, Brit Sinai. This one God says. By that Hashem Moshe, and page 361 in Hertz, and page 595? 590. 500. By that Hashem Moshe, Lech Alei, go up from here. To where? You and your people took out of Egypt. You the people you took out of Egypt, not mine anymore. That's good old Brit Avot. God said, I promised Brit Avot, I'll fulfill Brit Avot. Okay. I'm going to send a malach again, but this one's going to be very different. I'll send a malach to help you. Now, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, now you have to pay careful attention. The middle of Pasuk Gimel. Ki lo ele bikir b'cha, ki am she'or apata, tenecha chavadara. What's God saying? I'm not coming with you. You're on your own. I made a promise to Brit Avot, I promised the land of Israel, you have it, all yours. See the shining sea, from river to the sea. Remember? You have the land, I promised you the land, you have the land. That's it. But guess what? I can't be with you there. Because what will happen if I'll be with you there? It's, we can't live in the same room together. That's not compared to a wedding and a separation. If we're in the same room together, we'll kill each other. I'll kill you. There's no way. You see, it's not going to. This covenant's not working. Brit Avot, fine. But Brit Sinai, it's not going to work. Why? Because what's Brit Sinai require? Diligence. It requires following God diligently. You're an amshar if it doesn't work. And therefore, the only way you can survive is if I don't come with you. Understand? You have questions?
Isn't there something a little paradoxical because Hashem is being very strict by cutting off the brief right away? So that theme of strictness is still carrying through by His not forgiving us, even though He's breaking, it seems like we're distant, but that strict meet us, He's still having us with you.
He's saying that if you want closeness, it's not going to work because I have to punish you right away. He's saying, he's right, I'm strict. Because I'm so strict, we can't be with each other. That's what he's telling us. And he tells the people to take off the jewelry that was the sign of Har Sinai, and the people don't want to. And look in Pasuk Hey, real quickly. God says, V'yom Hashem Moshe, Emor ben Yisrael, Atem am k'she'oref, you're a stiff-necked people, you're not changing, you're not fixing your way. Reg yechad alevi kebechad bechadisticha, in a minute's time I'm going to come and punish you if you don't. And now take off the symbol of Har Sinai. Take off the jewelry. Chazal say everyone got a little ornament for Nasa Nishma. It's like a little pin. Yeah, like a class pin or an officer pin. You're downgraded. There you go, your dargo. Dargo, your, what do they call those in the army? Your stripe. Your badge. Your officer insignia is gone. Yeah. Okay, so I'll explain you with one little analogy. What God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu now, I call Herzl's dream come true. Because what's God saying? Brit Avot without Brit. You have the land of Israel. You have the laws of Parsha Mishpatim. You have the laws of civil justice. Maybe even laws of, you have a Passover holiday. But there's no Kedusha. There's no Mishkan. There's no Shabbat. You follow? All the things, listen, all the things that represent God is living with us. God has a house in our midst. Now, if God is in our midst, what can you do? You can go visit Him. Ali Allah Regal. You can push Him to you all the, basically what's missing is Sefer Vayikra. You follow? What's going to happen when this is over? When we finally get the covenant all fixed up again? See, that's where we're going. What laws are going to be repeated? Ali Allah Regal, from Pasha Kikisa. But all the laws of Mishpatim that are made out of the Makom. There's a difference. Are we going to be in the land of Israel representing God, or are we in the land of Israel because God made a promise to our forefather? So, but what has happened is God made a promise, He's going to keep to it. You have the land of Israel, but I'm not going to be there. Brit Avot without Brit Sinai. Now, what question are you going to ask? What point is there in Brit Avot without Brit Sinai? And that's exactly what Moshe is going to ask in the next. Moshe doesn't buy this. Yeah. Skip the Pasuk Yudbet, page 362 in the Hertz, and page 504. Moshe That's a beautiful prayer, and I'm going to get to the PowerPoint in a minute to review everything. In a minute, yeah. We're going to do the PowerPoint, and then we'll do a quick review. We're right at the tricky point, and then everything's going to come together, I hope. What I'm trying to show you is that there's until we get to God's Midot HaRachamim, there's a whole stage of development that happened with the story that begin with Brit Sinai. They begin with the first look off. They're broken. There's some negotiation. But the situation now is, had Moshe listened to God, we would have gone into Israel without God. Without God with us. Moshe begins to die. A tricky prayer, but listen to Pasuk Yudbet. First one. V'yomer Moshe Hashem. Re'ei means? Understand. God tells Moshe, I want you to understand. I mean, Moshe tells God, I want you to understand something. What did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I want you to lead the people. To where? To Israel. Now, who's supposed to lead them? Moshe, right? But God said, I'm sending a malach. Now, this malach, is God with this malach or not? But is God with Moshe Rabbeinu? God is with Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's not with the malach. But God says, Moshe lead them. He says, Moshe, I'm all mixed up. Okay. Are you with us? Decide, are you here or are you there? Where are you going to be? And what am I in all this? Moshe says like this, right? I told me how, you told me to lead the people. But I told me, you didn't tell me who you're sending. You told me that your name is with me. And I found favor in your eyes. Okay. If I did find favor in your eyes, explain to your ways how you're going to act with us. The man I'm talking about, I want to continue to find favor. And then Moshe ends with a punch. See the end of Pasuk Gimel? Ure'ei? What did he tell God? God says, I want you to recognize something, Moshe tells him. Ki amcha ha'goyotze. This nation is who? Don't pin it on me. They're your people, they're not my people. They're not the people of Moses. It's the people, it's the book of Moses. It's the people of God. And Moshe tells God, don't give me this thing that, that they're my people, that I'm in charge. You're their God. How can he even think of what? Of going, of sending me without you? If you know, when teachers 18-year-olds, they do Mighty Ducks. You know Mighty Ducks 2? Who knows Mighty Ducks 2? Okay, somebody. If you know Mighty Ducks 2, you know the, understand? The team, without the coach, the coach wants to leave. There's no such thing as a team without the coach. It doesn't go. Those who are smiling know the movie, the rest, I can't explain it any other way. But they're telling Moshe is telling God, what does it mean? There's no point to a Jewish nation if you're not with us. What would God's answer be? Maybe you're right, but if I come with you, you're finished. So God has a solution. What God say? Pasuk Yudalit. V'yomar panai yilechu v'anachoti lach. You know what? I'll go with who? I'll go with you. Not with that. But I'll go with you. You go with what Chazal called Machais Pnei Kisei. Moshe Rabbeinu is the liaison. God's going to be with Moshe, but not with the people. Moshe be with the people and with God. So Moshe's going to, God, you follow? It's a, but God will go with Moshe, Moshe will go with the people. We'll solve the problem. Moshe doesn't buy it. What's Moshe say? Moshe says in Pasuk Tetzav, V'yomar, Elav, Im in panecho, chim atalayim mizeh. If you don't come with all of us, we're not going nowhere. We're not going to zombie them out either. V'amei yevedei folki matatechem benecha, ani ba'amecha, halo v'lechtecha imanu. What's going to happen? What's Moshe saying? You come with Aniv Amecha, not just me, Aniv Amecha. What's Moshe demanding? I want you with the entire nation, not just with me. God's in the catch 22. You understand why? If he comes back, what's going to happen? If God returns to Shechina, what will happen to the people of Israel? The second they do one thing wrong, they won't survive it. They can't. They can't make this officer's training course. They can't be pilots. It's not going to work. They're not on the level. If God doesn't come with them, there's no point in their existence in anything. And now we're stuck. But Moses, and we got to go somewhere. And what are we going to need now? We need to renegotiate. We need a Jewish lawyer. We have to renegotiate the contract. But before we get to what we renegotiate, what needs to be the parameters of the negotiation? What situation do we need to end up with? Does God have to be in our midst? For sure. That's a given. God has to be in our midst. Are we in Amshe Oras? That's a given. God, and that's impossible. Remember? God said, Ki lo alev kirbacha, because I can't go with you because you're in Amshe Oras. It won't work. What do we need? We need a situation where We can remain in Amshe'oras and right? And God still be in our midst. We want something we don't deserve. And that's the key to the whole shift. Amishar so much wants to be God's people. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're your people. We want to represent you. God says, you're not worthy for the job. You're an Amshe'oras. That's where Chazal is going to get to this in a minute. Because they don't take that when they're good, or sometimes it's a good meal. We need a situation where God will be in our midst, and we can still make mistakes. We're going to work for a company, which is real important, but we don't have to be perfect. We can still be human. What's that require? Midos Rachamim. And God's now going to have to declare a new covenant, which we call brit shoshasa. Now we're going to read it. What's God saying now? Pasuk Yitzayin. You understand what we did the whole first part of this year? If you want to appreciate what the second luchot are about, it's the first luchot are in essence the foil. I think that's what they call in literature. Okay? Why don't we begin with the second luchot if they're so good? You won't appreciate the second luchot if you don't appreciate the problem with the first luchot. The good side and the bad side of the first luchot. Listen to what God says in Pasuk Yitzayin. I'm listening to you. Even this I'm going to listen to you. What does Moshe want to know now? He didn't read the Bible yet. How's it going to work? What's Moshe say? Vayomar. Harini net kvodecha. Kvod Hashem yisa on Har Sinai. Moshe knows Kvod Hashem on the first level. What do you want to know now? What will Kvod Hashem be now? How will God manifest himself to the people? Here's the passage we're saying in Sichot all the time. What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayomar. Ani ader kol tuvi al panecha. God saying, I'm going to pass in front of you. It's kind of complicated, but I think it relates to creation. Remember? Vayar and Kito? I'm going to pass all my goodness in front of you. I'm going to begin something, sort of recreate a relationship. And then do what? Vekarati, this shame Hashem lefanecha. Who's going to call out? God's going to announce his name in front of Moshe. God's going to announce his new identity. God can say, I'm going to declare my name. Okay? God says, Vakati Vishem. I'm going to call out my name, Yudke Vavke, in front of you. And then what am I going to do? Vachanoti et asherachon, vichamti et asherachem. Then what do I do? Now we have rachamim and chanina. That's mercy. Does God say everyone's going to get mercy? What's he say? Vachanit et asherachon, vet asher. Whoever I decide, based on what will God decide who gets rachamim, and who gets Hanina? I think it's real simple. To whom does it make sense for God to give mercy? For whom does it make sense for God to say, I'll give you another chance, I'll wipe out the first one? What do you have to show God? That what? I'll try, next time, I recognize my mistake, next time I'll do it better. It's nothing magical. If you have a boss, and you're working for him, and you identify with your job, you want to do a good job, you want to be a good pilot, you want to be a doctor, you want to do your job, but you're human, you make mistakes. So if your boss sees that sincerity, and sees you really care, it's really important to you, you know what? Even a mean boss, it's worth giving him another try. If your attitude is, what the heck, I don't care about this, I'm just doing it for the money, I want the scar, I just want a good salary, I want to get covered, etc. But I couldn't care less about representing God, it doesn't mean anything to me. But I'm in it for the, what's in it for me, kind of idea. What will God say? Or this guy is bad, he's not going to change no matter what. Then there's no reason for God to give Rachamim. Where does it say that? What pasuk is that? Again, Mitoch Sholish Lavad Lishma is an educational approach. That's area which is more, you say it more Leviathan than in Brit. Understand what I mean? Mitoch Sholish Lavad Lishma is not Mechatchila. It didn't say do something for the wrong reason and then maybe it'll go for the right reason. That's what when you're sort of giving up on something, even though if you're doing something, it's not so, even if you do it for the wrong reason, maybe something's going to come out of it. Again, you'll get that. But that's not, you don't build a nation the chassidah that way. You don't purposely do things not lishma and don't come. It's not an educational approach. It's an educational excuse. What? No, that's not the opening thing. That's the opening line of Shmuel Brachim. Here's what God wants you to do. That in certain things, in certain behavior, you do things even though you don't understand them. It's also an educational approach when someone's young, you don't appreciate the depth of it. But Mitoch Shlishma is not like, it's
not an ideal.
It's not an ideal. So back to, What's God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? V'chanoti et asher racham, v'chanoti et asher rachem. Now there's a possibility of rachamim, if you can give me a reason. Now our relationship with God is going to be modified a bit. But now there's a possibility of a second chance. What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? There's a price you're paying. What's God say now? Lo tuchal lirot panai. Meaning, how did Moshe speak out up until now? What do you mean when you speak panim b'fanim? It's clear, it's direct. If someone's talking to you with the face the other way, you can be making a joke and you won't know the difference. If you hear someone speaking, but it's not as clear, it's much easier to understand somebody when you're speaking face to face. Or you have them on that's the whole itim idea. If you just hear a podcast, so you know, you're listening to when you see their face and see their expressions, etc., and the teacher sees you, it's even more important for the teacher. It's impossible to teach when you don't see the people you're talking to. It's a much clearer, you hear, but it's not as clear. When we had Pavlov's dogs before, when we had Bidot Adin, the first Sukkot, we know when God's happy, we know when He's angry, don't we? It's immediate, right away, it's clear. Now that what happens? We might do something wrong, you don't get punished right away. You might do something good, you might not get rewarded right away. It might take a while. Now what do I know? I'm not sure. When something doesn't happen, I don't know how to read. But it's, now it's more like a love, like, it's more of a love relationship than it's more of a, it's less of a master-servant relationship, more of a husband-wife relationship.
Or maybe a father-son relationship.
Or a father-son relationship, even better. That's actually the, yeah.
Beneath
yeah, yeah. You're right. In Chumash, only the Nevi'im later. In Chumash, it's always either master-servant or father-son.
Right.
The husband-wife comes in, so she has top. And she or she remembers. That we say in Kiel, remember? In Tavarim, in Kabanim.
Right.
Yeah, Banim Atem Hashem Elokechem, it's in Dvar, yeah. Okay, Bini B'chori Yisrael. Exactly, right? In Tarek Dalar already. Now, take a look in. That's what God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu now. Now there's a possibility of Rahmin, but there's a price they're paying for it. We'll get there in 7 minutes.
Oh.
6 minutes, then 7 minutes, we'll get there. That's going to be, that's why it appears that bad thing happens to good people and vice versa. What do we need now? The first Luchot are broken. What do we need? We need to renegotiate the contract. We need new Luchot. That's Perek Lamed Aleph. Moshe tells God, make a new one, and God will write the words. But what's going to be written on the new Luchot? The same laws? Are the laws going to change? The law is all 14 people. Why would the commandments change? The same commandment. What needs to change? The midot have to change. Now, is God saying there's no more Kelkana, no more Poket Avon? No. He's saying it's not only that. Now we sort of get Torah Shabbat coming with the Torah Shabbat stuff. We have, God says, write the same book, the same mitzvot, the same dibrot again. But as I give them, what am I going to do? I'm going to, because as I'm writing down this thing, remember what God tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Terech Lamed Aleph? So write down the Katati Aluchot that Sadbrem Asher Aluchot Rishem Asher Shibarta. I'm going to write down the same things I wrote on the first one. But as I give it to you, what am I going to do? I'm going to declare Torah Shabbat. They're going to read one way. It's like Kriya Ktiv. You know what Kriya Ktiv is? It's written one way and you read it the other way. It's so beautiful what happens. Torah Shabbat is the beginning. What's God saying? Here's what's written and here's how you're going to interpret it. We'll see that in a minute. God's going to say, write down the same laws, but as you write them down, as I give them to you, I'm going to declare how I'm going to interpret them now. And what are we going to add to them? I call it the First Amendment. We're going to bring it, we're going to have the same laws, but now we're going to add a possibility of rahamim. Now we go back to the PowerPoint and watch what happens. But I want to show you it, and we'll see it inside. If we're going to trace all the midot that we had till now, we're going to show you that when God declares his midot, everything's going to flip around. And we'll do this, and I'll give it to you on the log, and that's not good. Okay, so there's a page, in the back there by my computer page, there's a page of, there's a bunch of pages that have, I'm just going to take 5 minutes to set up again.
I should pass one out.
Yeah, pass them out. But actually, no, not yet. We have to do, just pass them out, but don't look at them.
Torah Shabbat started officially when Moshe himself
Okay, I'm not saying, I'm saying, here's an example of Torah Shabbat, though, where it's written one way, but interpreted differently. I'm saying it began, I should have said the word begun.
The other one is Asher Shibarta.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying here's an example written one way, that's going to mean, why is God having declared them? Later, we're going to write down this in Torah Shabbat in a minute. But in the meantime, okay, but don't look at those yet. Really, it'll ruin the shir if you look at them. I want you to look at your focus instead. Do the following. Look at the midot. Right? Look at the first four psukim we all know from Lane, I hope. Look at Perek Lamed Daled. Moshe says, write new luchot, etc. Write new luchot. And we'll do this together. And then we'll look at the page. We'll start from Pasuk Daled. You with me? Pasuk Daled, page 364 in the Hertz, and page 508. What happened to the lights? The electricity's off, or?
Yeah, I turned it off.
Oh, sorry. Okay, for life. So first, we have to back on for a minute, and we'll get back to this. My computer takes 5 minutes to... This antivirus is... people's money. Says, by Moshe luchot avanim kurishonim, Moshe makes two new luchot. Moshe gets up in the morning, goes up just like the first time, and he takes two luchot with him. Okay. Pasuk Hey, everyone have it? Vayer Hashem ba'anam, what that mean? Just like in Har Sinai, Moshe comes down with the Anan. God comes down with the Anan. By the Tzedi Mosham, he and Moshe stand together. By Krav V'Shem Hashem, what's God do? God called out his name. Go back and take a look at Lamed Gimel Yotet again, just to make sure you remember. What was God's answer to Moshe's prayer in Pasuk Yotet? What did God promise Moshe? Remember, God said, "Vayomer Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Alpanecha." God told Moshe, I'm going to pass in front of you. Back in the Nikrat Tzur, Mar Sinai, in this little cloak. And I'm going to call out, God says, I'm going to call out my name in front of you. And then that will enable me to forgive those who need to be forgiven and give mercy to those who need mercy. Now it's going to happen. Moshe is up in Har Sinai. God passes in front of him. In front of Moshe, they're together. And now we're up to Pasuk Vav, aren't we? We're still Pasuk Hey. We're in Pasuk Vav. Vayer Hashem Banan, we talked about this in Tehillim. Moshe comes down. God comes down in the Anan. I'm sorry. Pasuk Vav. Vayavor Hashem Alpanav. What pasuk is that based on? Remember, God said, Ani Adar Kol Tuvi Alpanecha. Vayavor Hashem Alpanav, as he promised. Vayikra, who's going to call out? Hashem. A lot of people in the Davin think it's Moshe calling out. A lot of people think that. You thought that also, I guess. Yeah. It's God calling out. Tons of people misunderstand that. Moshe is not davening to God. God is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu and declaring how it's going to work now. By Yavor Hashem, God passes over Moshe, and God calls out and says his name. V'klati v'shev Hashem l'fanecha. He's declaring his name. His name is his how he's going to work. Okay? And his name is Yudkei Vavke, Hashem.
That's the whole point.
Listen what you said. Okay? In the first luchot, what was God's name? Ki Onochi Hashem Kelkana Poke Navon. But with Hashem, it was Yudkei Vavke. Yudkei Vavke doesn't mean the definition of Yudkei Vavke is not Rachamim. Yudkei Vavke can have Rachamim. It's a characteristic, but not a definition. Understand that? People grow up thinking that Yudkei Vavke means thing. I mean, Elohim means thing, and Yudkei Vavke means Rachamim. It's not a definition. It's a characteristic. There's a big difference between the two. Because Yudkei Vavke can mean thing a lot. But Yudkei Vavke means it's God's personal name. Yudkei Vavke can allow this room for Rachamim with Yudkei Vavke. Elohim is more distant. Elohim is a more general name for God. Yudkei Vavke is God's personal name. With a personal relationship, there's more room for forgiveness. Okay. Now, we're in Pasuk Vav. And what's God say now? First he says Yudkei Vavke. Then he says what? Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun. That's instead of what? What was God before in the first luchot? Before Hashem was a Kel Kana. What's he now? And why did Rachum V'Chanun based on what was it? Which is the first thing that's the first thing he's got to say now. That was the negotiation, what he promised. So Chanun Rachum was right up front. What's next thing God says? Erechapayim. After Chet Egel, remember when God said, "Raygi Adam Zedek Yam Kshorafu"? And then Vata Michali is Yicharati Bahem Bachalev. What's Charona? Quick to anger. Okay. What's Erech Apayim? So then, before God was Erech Charona, now he's Erech Apayim. Okay. What happens next? Rav Chesed. How did Chesed get Smicha? What makes... I'm joking. What's Rav Chesed mean? Rav has been Rabbi. Before God was Ose Chesed to who?
Rabbi.
Now he's Rav Chesed to who? Everybody. What's Rav Chesed mean? Rav, an abundance of Chesed. But that needs to be balanced with, because it appears to be, not fair, balanced with Emet. Nozer Chesed means, what's Nozer mean? No, that's Yitzira. This is Nozer, so hold that. Or store. Like a Nozer, or like on a gun. And Yitzira is a safety stuff. Nozer Chesed means God holds back. Or stores that, stores Chesed. Yeah. But it's not the Lashon Yitzira, it's Lashon Nozer. Like Shvini Yetzer. Yeah. It's a hold back and store something. Now what's God doing? Sometimes God gives an abundance of chesed to people even who don't deserve. And sometimes hold that chesed and give it to them later. What does Chazal say on this one? Tzadik l'ralo, rasha v'toto. But that's the price, that's the price of Midat Rachamim. If you want God in your midst, even though you don't deserve it, if you don't want to get punished right away for your sins, and you want God to give you another chance, don't expect to be rewarded right away when you do something good. And therefore, if you want a situation where you have Rosh HaPetoglo, at least temporarily, don't be surprised you have situations in Tzadik Rav. Now, in the end game, it all even out. We need to put Olam Haba into it. That's the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah. He makes that very clear. But he says, on the individual level, as we were talking about before, Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah, the place talks about your question you asked at the end of the last year. But he says, on the individual level, it only evens out with Olam Haba. On the national level, it's a different story. Now, Nosei Chesed Lavdim, Nosei Avon Vosek Shabbat Etah, is instead of what? What was God before? What do we have the word Nosei? Remember the Malach? God said, Lo Yitzal Tishehem, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Vatai Tishah Chatatam, be mine, what's God going to do now? Nosei Avon Vosek Shabbat Etah, remember the last word about Teshem Chatah? Who is? Teshem Chatah has an answer. Nosei Avon Vosek Shabbat Etah, all three. What's the next one? Oh, now we can put the computer back on. Find me the next one. See if you can find the rest of them on your own. Back here. And give me a break to get my voice started. There we go. PowerPoint. This is in honor of Benny Gesundheit. You find the next one, Nosei Avon Vosek Shabbat Etah, V'nakei Lo Yinakei. What was God before? Before God was Lo Yinakei Hashem, what's he now? Now it's V'nakei Lo Yinakei, meaning that there's two ways to explain it. Most people explain, instead of Lo Yinakei, it says V'nakei Lo Yinakei. Oh, wrong, okay. And how is Pukhid Avon different now? How is Poked Avon different? Before what was God? God was Poked Avon to the Sunai. Now it's not the Sunai. How does Hatal understand it now? God's not Poked Avon on you and your children. Now he's going to hold on Poked Avon up until four generations. Without big time of context, without the Torah. I'm going to review what we did. The punchline is coming up in 2 minutes. I want to do a quick review of the PowerPoint in an honor of Benny Gesundheit. And that's okay. So it won't be forgotten, Jim. Okay. I get to play with my toy. F page down, right? Does it? Oh, I did. That's too fast. Wait. F all thing? I got the wrong file. I have a whole. I have a different one. Okay, we'll do this one here. Okay. See the first hook? That's the page. Now you can. That's the page I gave you. I have another review. We'll do in a minute. See the first hook? Let's go over what we did. Remember, on the PSM was Kelkana. It's better in the color. Remember I asked the question to find the luchot. Most things you found on your own. I led the witness, but you found them. If we take a look at all the different things we had shown now, God was Kelkana on the red, who's Boked Abon the Sonai. Ote Chesed Ohavai. Kiloi Nakel we had, Kiloi Tadapri Shechem and Veichar Pipahem. That's what we did. That was the first half of the Shir. Then we had Hosra and Chet Egal in between and the negotiation. And look how each Midah flips around. Now in the second of all, Hashem Korev. Hashem Kelrachum Achalun instead of Kelkana. Red was red. The color should have a little bit. Erech Apayim instead of Charonah. Rav Chesed, Nusser Chesed, instead of Ote Chesed or Havai, is Rav Chesed and Nusser Chesed? Good? Now instead of Kiloita Mephishachem, now it's Nusser Havon Nusasha, Rechatah. Instead of Yilom Reinaket, now Kelo Yinaket, and Fokei Davon, instead of the Sonai, everybody can hold back punishment for the four generations. What did we find? See how it all matches up like a charm? That can't be by chance. Meaning, what happened? If you want to appreciate the midot that we have, you have to see where it came from. Now, when you understand the ideal of the first of all, the first of all is like it's an asymptote kind of thing where that's what you strive for. Yeah. In Briat Olam, you have the same idea. Remember Rav Tzachar spoke in Briat Olam, Midat Adin? God wanted recreation with Midat Adin. Ra'ashe and Mikhaimsa did work. She takes it from Midat Rachamim. It's not only Rachamim, it's not only Din. God got two thrones, doesn't it? What do we say in Slichot? Kel Melech Yoshev Al? We're asking God, switch your throne. You have the ability to judge Din or Rachamim. So move to the throne of Rachamim, and we, in front of you, what do we have to do? We have to give God a very good reason why you should use Rachamim. What reason is that? Our understanding, if we can show God we're dedicated servants, we understand why we're chosen, we understand what He wants from us. And God, listen, we're only human. And therefore, if one understands Midot Rachamim, if you understand the nature of the relationship, if you understand what breach, that's a breach closest link, it's a second goal. If you understand that relationship, then you understand why the need to do Tshuva. Why do we say so often in Tshuva? It's the opposite of a mantra. I hope that's the most important point to share. If saying the Dibur Midot, it's reminding yourself, and hence God, reminding yourself of the nature of your relationship with God, why you were chosen, and you understand why the world would just give you Midot Rachamim, based on the nature of our covenant, which began with the whole, following the whole idea of the Takeno of Amal Shaddai. Then if you understand what Shuvah is about, and why, if you understand why God would give you a second chance, that'll motivate the person to become a better Jew, to become a better person. Now, just knowing that's not enough, that's what Tfilah is about. You have to remind yourself over and over and over again. That's important. But it's totally different than saying, I'm going to say these magic words, I say these magic words, and the whole string is up in some kind of computer up in heaven, and God works like a robot. That's not what it's about. But Tfilah, that's the essence of Tfilah, that Tfilah helps you understand and regulates your connection and your appreciation and your commitment. Takarish Bor. Now, all said and done, what was the Ikar of Moshe's Tfilah? What was God's threat after Chet Egel? What was his biggest threat? I'm not coming with you, remember? Moshe, you gotta come with us. Did God say he's coming yet or not? What did he say though? I'll change my midot. Okay. Look at Moshe, but what did Moshe Rabbeinu want? Moshe Rabbeinu wants God to be with him. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu's Tfilah after it's over. Look at the next line, Moshe. What happened? By Maher Moshe, now Moshe is quick. God declares his new midot. Moshe's got a half a moment. What's he going to do? By Maher Moshe, I put Atta Vaishta. Do I don't have it? Page? This is what God said. By Maher Moshe, I put Atta Vaishta. Vayomer. Like he said before. What did he ask for now? Look how beautiful it is. Yelech na Hashem b'kirbeinu. Meaning? Come with us. What did God say before? He will never give up. Now God's saying, now that you change your relationship, now you can come with us. What happened when we did when we sin? Now forgive it. But what did he say first? Yes, that should be given. Ki amshi orfo. What does ki mean now? Does it mean because or even though? It's gotta be even though. Remember? It's such a key word. Pun intended. I told you, two letter words in Kumash are so important because they force you to look at the context. They can mean different things. Now, Chazal has a beautiful line on that. Now you see what Chazal is getting at. Well, because when I'm sure he chose it, it's on that pasuk, not on the first one. Chazal is always on the mark. But you appreciate it. My whole point in Torah study, if you want to appreciate, you always have this complaint. There's always this complaint that when you study Pshat and Chumash, you're not, you know, it's not fair enough. If Chazal explains something some way, who are we to go and interpret? My whole point is that when you study Chumash in depth, then you begin to appreciate what Chazal is saying. If you want to appreciate what, when you understand, if you want to appreciate when Chazal makes a statement, like, we're chosen because we're not sure, you can't base it just on one little line. When you see the context of how it develops, you can see those statements made on a much deeper understanding of what's happening in Chumash. And if it's appreciate what Chazal is saying, you have to study it much more in depth. Yeah.
Presumably, after Chida Egal, that's when God decided he couldn't come with the people. But that's when we have the Mishkan.
Oh, we'll get to Mishkan. Give me 2 seconds for the Mishkan. We'll see how Chazal understands the Mishkan in a minute. Look at the board now again. What's Moshe do? Remember, we just read it to him. Now, what did God say before? Back in Parak Lamed Gimel, God said, now I'm going to say, that's when God made a punishment in Parak Lamed Gimel, said, Vashat Lefet Malach, Ki lo alev rekeva ki am shorafata, tenoch ha-chabadara. There he meant, because. But I'm not coming because you're not sure. What's Moshe Dabin now? Even though. Even though we're not sure. It's a beautiful play on words. That's the last of the name of Patego Fatam. What's God's next line? Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
Because
yes. I can show you an
I think that God understands very much that the Amtsiyor has got both qualities to it.
If
the quality says you didn't find Ashka the Lumas until Yisrael, it sounds like we'll have two, that's what he chose.
Okay, it could be. We'll begin with that. Okay.
You're a Mr. Job. That's a job.
Okay. We'll see. We claim you get the case. We have a 2 minute warning to get out. But it could be the fact we're on Sha'arif is we're stubborn for, in a good sense as well. There's something good about being stubborn. But the first time it's mentioned is not being something negative. The first time we're not sure for something negative. Later, even in, it's like a sort of become Shalishma Balishma again, the same idea. Where in the Levaya and the Emsai, that has it, and with absence, you know, there might have been something good. You know, it's not ideal, but you can find something good in that. Now back to, what do we say in Davin? El Ritim Anu L'Marsha Tzai, it's Chol Anu L'Brishon Tzai. You see what we're saying in Davin? That's what we're saying in Davin. We want God to remember this covenant. Remember that there's a possibility of Rachamim, but he has to remember, we have to remember that and understand what's behind it as well. And that's why Shuvah, by Tzai Tzivah, is so important to make the whole idea of Tzivah is that when you understand your relationship with God, and it will affect it. How it affects your behavior before you come to when you leave Shul, etc. Tzilah is supposed to inspire you how you act the rest of the day. That's what's so cool about Aleinu. If Aleinu is all like, yeah, Aleinu is good, we say, well, why did Chazal, I think, why did they put David down here? It was written for Rosh Hashanah, but if it's a vision statement, a reminder that it's our job, when you praise God, you don't praise God in Shul, I mean, you're in Shul, but you praise God when you leave Shul. How? When you leave Shul and go to work. And live the rest of your day. The day of every Jew should be his actions should praise God. The way he acts, the way he talks, what he does. The very life of the Jew is the praise of God. So it's a reminder when you're all done, when you leave Shul. Yeah.
Why is the British Rosh really represents a closer father son relationship as opposed to the servant the master relationship? Why would the manifestation of Hashem be lesser as opposed to the initial? Why would it require lesser manifestation of Hashem's?
That's the question, what's the higher level? The first or the second? This relationship is much more dynamic. You understand, it's more like she loves me, she loves me not. Kind of, it's a much more life relationship, it's a much more human relationship. In the end game, it's a much more real relationship. And it gives room for growth, it gives room for building. That's the class in Shira Shirin. But that's how a relationship with God grows, it's a much more alive relationship when it's dynamic. You're not a robot. Oh, that one goes through. Let me just summarize, and then yes, I gotta.
Yes. Summarize.
And then we'll take questions afterwards. Yeah, I'll take questions afterwards. I have a full. Anyone wants to ask afterwards? I have a full PowerPoint. I have another. I hit the wrong file there. It's not going to go over every point of this year. If you want to sit around for that, I'll show everybody and give you the. I can give you the link to the file also if you want to review. But I hope the main point. The first key is clearly right.
God said, I'm not coming with you because you're not sure. Now Moshe says, come with us even though we're not sure.
Okay, so that's nothing to do with the
pasuk. Yeah, but I'm saying, I think...
That's the exact opposite.
Yeah, but I'm saying, because of that pasuk. Yeah. Now, back to... what do we have to do? So in, I hope the point was clear. I'm trying to trace this relationship of a covenant between God and mankind. God in Abraham Avinu, God in Har Sinai, God with the second of both. And the very nature of our relationship, when you to appreciate, you know, for Rachamim, you see where they're coming from. But the fact that God's original relationship, which makes sense because our job is so important, requires this strict set of midot to appreciate that we're getting something we don't deserve. It's like getting into medical school if you don't have the grades. So you're forever thankful to the dean who lets you in. You have to recognize it's in a lopsided relationship with God. And it's very healthy sometimes. Because otherwise, it's the thing of my gift, you know, is what I deserve. Or in essence, you're working for God, He's not working for you. It's the difference between Avodat Hashem and Avodat Torah. As a Jew, you're working for God. And He makes the world, but if you show God your dedication, then I'm working for Him, as opposed to He's working for you, and I do these magic things, and He'll come and help me. And it's a give and take, it's a, you know, what's in it for me kind of relationship. And that's a two I'm not sure about the kind of class that the same thing. So that's Midot Rachamim, that hopefully I'll make still a little more understandable, a little more appreciate all the QT and lead into that idea. And that's why it's so important in Kippur. Again, Rosh Hashanah, we have that all mankind. When do we get protected? What? And Yom Kippur, that's for the Jewish people. No, Yom Kippur is agreement between God and the Jewish people. That's for us. That's special for us. Rosh Hashanah, oh boy, Olam by Lefanecha. I'm in Kippur, now that we made you king, now we're workers, now I'm working to give you a little protection.
I would understand Yom Kippur as, since we represent God in the world, it's forgiveness for the entire world, because if we are better, then we're in a better position to serve.
We still say Aleinu and Yom Kippur. But they were asking for sure for ourselves. I mean, it's for the sake of mankind, but we're asking God, Zlachon and Kater Lanu.
Thank you.